LPMpodcast.com. This is episode 16, and you are listening to the AG's Punk Chicks. Tonight, we're going to do a classy foreign film.
Ooh.
Ooh.
It's French.
It's French. You must put your finger in the air, as you, your pinky in the air, as we discuss and sip our beverages. And we're not drinking champagne. Its French name was, I'm probably going to massacre this, A la folie, pas de tout. He loves me not. Sounds like a really sweet movie, doesn't it?
Aww.
Sounds like a chick flick. Sounds all sweet. It's got the Audrey Tautou, who did Amelie, which was...
Tatouage?
Yeah, who did that sweet movie Amelie, and she was also in The Da Vinci Code.
Was she?
Yeah. She was the chick, the main character girl in Da Vinci Code with the Hanks.
Remember when there was like three people protesting outside?
There was more than three outside the movie theater back home.
It was funny.
On the wank.
On the best wank. It's the best wank.
Yeah, okay. IMDb says... IMDb. says... A young woman who is in love with a married doctor becomes dangerous when her attempts to persuade him to leave his wife are unsuccessful. However, when things are seen from his point of view, the real situation becomes clear. Their tagline says, one of their taglines, and I thought this was funny, is she crazy in love or just crazy? Now I put my pinky by my mouth and go,
Isn't that special?
So, as we know, this is, like, all subtitled. Of course.
So you have to read a movie? Oh, my God.
I know, my God. But you didn't mind when it was Pan's Labyrinth, huh?
No.
No. You sat through pretty much almost all of this one. You stopped just at one point to get a snack, I think.
And a beverage.
And a beverage. But
a tasty, refreshing beverage.
Yes. Oh my God, I saw on the Food Network today they made something called beer punch, and I think we're going to have to try it.
What did they make it out of?
It was like blueberries, raspberries, all these berries, and they masticated it in grenadine.
They masturbated it.
You know what I mean. It's like they poured grenadine in to make it all break down so it became syrupy. Huh. And then... you put some in a mug, a big frosty beer mug, and then you poured your beer on top of the berries. So it all mixed together. And they said it was very summery and light and refreshing. I kind of want to try it.
It's that thing they do in Germany with like half cola, half beer.
Oh yeah, I don't know what it's called, but I've heard of that. Well, like just like the, what is it, Clamato in beer, which, ugh. I just can't even bring myself to try it.
Wham, bam, straight clam.
It may be. Might go straight to the clam. I don't know. That's just weird stuff right there.
What was that other lime beer that they were making for a minute?
Oh, the Budweiser.
I thought there was another one that was like.
I don't know. There's
like
probably
tomato juice and.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And lime.
I don't know. That's. I don't know. I don't know, Sammy. I don't know. I'll Sammy be so. I just had Coronas with lime. And then when I went to Spain, I discovered...
España.
Yeah, España. I discovered they had some other beer with lemon. That was their summer drink. Of course, they didn't drink much of anything but alcohol. Asked for water. It was like blasphemy. I drank water out the faucet.
They know not to drink the water.
I drank it out the faucet. I just would go at night and I had no air conditioning. But anyway, I guess we should talk about the movie. That's not España. It's... Frosh. Ha ha ha.
Can we make some frog legs later?
If you can. They don't have frogs up here. It's too dry, I guess, huh? I was going to say, desert. If you can catch the frogs. But, go gigging.
Adventure frog.
No! Adventure frog's a pet frog. You don't eat adventure frog. He's got little legs anyway. And he's albino. Don't eat albino things. That's bad luck.
What about white rabbits?
Not if it's a pet. I had a pet rabbit. What about white cows?
They make milk.
That are white? What about the ones that are white and black spotted?
That's brown milk.
No, brown cows make brown milk. What do the spotted cows make?
Oh, lemonade.
Okay, let's. I guess I should get back to the movie. Audrey Tautou is the main character, Angelique, and the movie starts off in this like pretty flower shop, and she picks out this pretty rose to be hand delivered to somebody because she says it's to celebrate the anniversary of meeting her love. So it looks all sweet and sugary, and there's like hearts and flowers, and it looks like a Valentine's Day movie because they have all these parts with these little hearts and flowers, and she's looking at all these windows, and it looks all Valentine-y. And you see now this Dr. Legarac, and he gets the rose, and he reads the note, and he smiles, and he goes into his office with a patient, and it's like, aww. So then you see Angelique in her life drawing class, and she's drawing Dr. Legarac's face instead of the actual model's face on her drawing, and she won some scholarship, blah, blah, blah. And she's going to be house-sitting this house for a year while the occupants, who is a mom and a son, they're going to Washington for a year. So she's got, it is a big house. I was thinking, like, in France, in the major city, because it looked like Paris, that most of the houses would be little apartment flats, kind of like English houses, you know, in the city, you know, just kind of a couple of rooms, like two rooms or three rooms, but it was a big-ass house. It was like two stories.
They're in the burbs.
They must have been in the burbs.
La burb.
La burb. And, so then it flashes, and she's at this party, and she's got on her sassy dress, and she's dancing with this guy, and his name's David, who is really into her, but we see...
She's not really into you.
Yeah, she's not really into him at all, but that's her friend, and they see, his name is Loic, Dr. Legarac, and they see him, and she's telling David, you know... Oh, it's tricky that we're both here because everybody knows his wife and, you know, you see her go upstairs and then you see the doctor disappear upstairs and then you see her come out like kind of smiling, him first, then her, and then you see them in the car together leaving and you're like, ooh.
Afternoon delight.
Or, well, this is nighttime, so nighttime delight. Next thing you know, you see her in the house she's sitting and she's painting. Then you see like a flash of her watching the doctor and this kid play in the park. Then you see her calling her friend who she works with at this bar. And she asks her to help her.
Is it a bar or a coffee place?
It looks like a coffee place, but they call it the bar. And it's got like le discotheque music playing in it. But everybody's kind of sitting around like a cafe. I don't know. But they call it the bar.
Yeah.
And she asks, her friend is like Heloise or something like that. She's a cute little chick too, and she's got a little girl, but she asks her to help her, Angelique, with a surprise for the doctor, and they haul this humongous painting, and I guess it's like, you think, to his house or something, but it winds up being in his office. And then she's waiting for him because, you know, she's supposed to see him for his birthday that night. And she's sitting on her sofa waiting, and she's all dressed up again, and he never shows up.
Aww.
Yeah, so she goes to bed, and she's lying awake, and she's having all these, like, flashes of her, of him in her mind. Then you see him lying awake in bed with his wife sleeping next to him, and you're thinking, evil wife, keeping him away from her.
Stupid wife.
Stupid wife. And then, we find out that the wife is preggers. Oh, yeah. She looks pretty far along, so you don't know when they've met. So you never know, you know. Maybe, I don't know, she was already pregnant when they met or something.
She's flaunting that fat belly, trapping him with that baby.
Yeah, that's what she says. And it seems every time Angelique...
But in French, yeah.
Seems every time Angelique goes to see Loic, his wife is there and, you know, deters her from her love. And she's so upset because she was having this key made for him. And she sees him on the street and she's, like, gonna run and give him the key made that she made for her house to him. And the wife shows up. So she's all upset and she calls her, or she's with her friend. And her friend tells her, you know, you should sleep at my house and stay away from him because you're so upset. And then that night, as she's sleeping at her friend's house, it figures that Loic shows up at Angelique's house, the house she's house sitting at, and is knocking on the door. And you're like, oh, he came for her. And now she borrowed her friend's moped, and I forgot why. But she shows back up at the bar. And the moped is smushed. And her moped
goes smush mush?
Yeah. It's got a bobo in the front. And her elbow's all messed up. So she's got David, the guy from the beginning, comes over. Because he's in med school. And the doctor, I guess, is one of their people that helped teach him. But he comes over to mend her up. And he gives her this scarf that's on the sofa to use as a sling.
And he used cleansing gel.
Yeah, because he got mad at her because she was talking about Loic again. And he's like, well, let him change your dressing next time. Tell him I used cleansing gel. But they were talking about the wife and how the wife lost the baby. And now he's going to take Angelique to Florence. And now there's all these flashes of, like, Loic and his wife. And his wife leaving Angelique. And Angelique's playing dress. Oh, it's Bruce Campbell! Sorry, we have old movie Dark Man.
Dark Man, I didn't know he was in that.
It's just at the very end. Look, it was the last scene.
Is he in the sequel? We'll have to watch it.
I don't know, we'll have to watch the sequel.
Aren't there like three
and
or
he was
four?
Young in that. Yeah, there's a whole bunch, but yeah. But anyway, so Angelique's playing dress up in like this wedding gown. And she's like, I'm going to Florence with him, and that nag of a wife left him, so let's go to the airport. We have the tickets and everything. But then you see Loic is just sitting in his living room, and he takes his jacket, and he storms out, and then he's speeding in his car, and Angelique keeps trying to buzz his house on a payphone. Why?
No cell phones.
Yeah, none of them had cell phones.
Cell phone, telephone.
But Loic wasn't going to the airport because the airport's now empty and Angelique is like, there's somebody mopping, and so she decides to walk home, and she's got her little suitcase with no wheels. That's how you know it's older, too. No wheels on the freaking suitcase. And Loic's banging on the door of the house, yelling, or a house, yelling, Rochelle! Rochelle! That's his wife. Rochelle! But now what happens is Angelique, she's on a bridge, and she's looking over into the water, but she throws the suitcase in. I thought she was going to kill herself, but she didn't.
Damn it.
And she goes home, and she's moping, and she waits on the sofa by the phone, and then she trashes the house because she's so depressed and angry. So...
kills all the plants.
Yeah, she kills all the plants. So what's a scorned woman to do? Go stalking, of course. And, oh, and did what I mention? She has a wall of Loic, kind of like the creepiness of 24-hour photo. Like, she's got pictures of him all over the wall, like photographs she's taken. Like 24-hour photo with Robin Williams, remember that? Uh-huh. She's got a wall of that in the living room of the house she's house sitting at. And her friend, Helois, goes to see David to tell him how, like, the doctor's ignoring Angelique, and Angelique's so depressed that she thinks she's going a little crazy. So David goes off to confront the doctor because he thinks he's messing with her feelings, and the whole conversation make it sound like he's dumped her out cold in a cruel manner, like he said he didn't want to see her anymore and just to leave. And so David gets into this confrontation with him, but Angelique tells David she needs his help to give him a goodbye present. And she whispers in his ear, and David's kind of like appalled, but he loves her so much that he agrees to help her. And he kind of sees how the house is all trashed and there's furniture missing because she's like sold the furniture to buy him a really nice gift. And he gets pissed, but he still helps her anyway. But she's sitting and watching the news in her house. She's ripping up some cloth, I don't know, fabric. And you hear, Dr. Legarek has been arrested at his office for assaulting a patient. And her name's Jasmine. I forgot her last name. And,
Rice.
Was it?
No.
So, you see Angelique go into her computer, which was all in DOS. It was kind of cool. It was all, like, a DOS-looking screen, like, with the little green letters. When she was looking up the chick's address. Yeah, she looks up the address. And the next morning, wouldn't you know, that Jasmine chick is found dead in her apartment? Yeah. So, Helois hears this on the radio. And she runs to Angelique's house. And Angelique opens the door. And she has like a bruise and like these scratches on her cheek. Kind of like a scuffed up face. And she's like, what happened to you? I fell down the stairs. That's what you always say.
I fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
I'm clumsy.
That's right.
If I listen right the first time.
And then there's this ring, you know, the doorbell rings, and it's the coppers, and they're there to question Angelique. And Angelique kind of is like, no, I was here all night. Helois was with me the whole night, weren't you? We sat up and, like, watched movies and had fun and... oh, the house is a mess, but that's because we're renovating and da-da-da-da-da. So now Helois is, like, starting to see that Angelique is crazy. And she questions her and she's like, yeah, I killed her. And Helois is kind of, like, gonna threaten to turn her in, but Angelique's like... but then what happens when they take your kid and put her in foster care and blah, 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 because you didn't speak up when the cops were here kind of thing. I don't know. She was, like, threatening her and made her run out the door.
What was that shirt we saw? It's like, it's not stalking if you really, 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 really love them or something like that.
Probably. I don't remember where we saw that, though. Do you? Where was that?
Oh.
I don't know either. Oh. Oh, puppies of purgatory are at it. They're evil. Evil. Ah, you. Don't go by the gate. He was scoping out the feral ferret. So now the cops are at Loic's house and are arresting him. And his wife...
Pourquoi,
I know. And his wife, who's a lawyer, you know, runs up and she's kissing him and saying, don't say anything, blah, blah, blah. I'm his lawyer. And they put him in the paddy wagon. Well, Angelique's on the other side of the street and she sees all of this. And then she goes home and she turns out on all the gas on the stove and the oven and lies on the kitchen floor and she dozes off. And now, the movie rewinds. We're all the way back at the beginning.
Now, what would happen if the French chick from High Tension was inserted into this story?
Oh my god, huh? That would be kind of kick-ass.
Because her friend kind of reminded me because they both had the short
blonde hair. But Angelique's friend was kind of short and heavy. Not heavy, but...
rich and full-bodied.
No, she was just fuller figured than the chick in High Tension and who was skinny, skinny. And she played the field. What do you know of love? You played the field. So we rewind and we're back at the beginning of the movie and we're in the flower shop. And... you see the little guy on the moped with the flower going and the flower gets delivered to Dr. LeGarrick. And he opens the note and it says, my heart is yours forever. No signature, so he thinks it's from his wife.
And no box with a bloody heart in it.
Yet. And of course, he's talking to this female patient. Her name is Jasmine.
We call her Naked Lady.
Naked Lady. And she
all
keeps...
she wants to do is take her clothes off and get her groove on.
Well, every week she comes in with chest pain and she wants to be examined. So she's always like pulling off her shirt and around the boobage area. She's like, you need to examine me. He goes home to his wife and she thinks he's brought the rose home for her. And he's all confused. And he's going to his convention party. But his wife doesn't want to go because she's all fat and preggers. And she's tired. So he goes up to the bathroom at the party and cranky. He's at the party and you see him go up to the bathroom while Angelique's sitting in the bathroom. I guess they have co-ed bathrooms like you said up there because there's all these stalls and she's putting on her makeup in front of the mirror. And he comes out and washes his hands, which I'm glad he does.
After he made a big poop while she was waiting in there.
Yeah. And she helps him with getting the paper towel out of the container, and he asks if they've met before, and she says she's house-sitting for one of his neighbors. He says his goodbyes, and Angelique stalks him outside, and she's standing by the taxi stand, so he's like, you need a ride since you live next door?
In my love machine.
Yeah. So the part at the beginning when she was watching him in the park with the kid... actually, it was him and his wife and two of their friends and their friends' kids having, like, a picnic in the park and playing and stuff. And he goes to sit on this park bench while Arthur is taking a piss behind a tree. And he finds all these sketches with him and the kids and then sketches of him. And he's starting to feel a little fatal attraction, I think. So... the huge painting that went into his office, he's all confused and yelling at his receptionist, and there's a friend there who's a cop, I guess, is saying there's no prints or anything on it. Plus, he's gotten another note about a gift that he's given some woman, and this is the scarf that Angelique used as a sling because Loke's wife dropped the scarf in their driveway when they were going picnicking. And just then, his wife comes in and decides they should bring the painting home and hang it up in their house. Now, every woman that starts coming into his exam room, his office, he's starting to, like, question Danny Elfman. He does everything. He starts, like, questioning if it's them, especially, you know.
Naked Lady.
Naked Lady. He doesn't know what to do. He goes to his receptionist desk, like, after she leaves for the day, and he starts, like, comparing handwriting on the notes to all, like, the checks and in the date book and anything. And on top of that, he gets home, and his wife is all pissy and tells him to check his messages. Because there's 23 of them. It's Sam Raimi. That's probably why Bruce Campbell was in it. Anyway.
This is Dark Man.
Duh. And all of the messages are that song, you know, L is for the way you look at me. O is blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's that love song by Nat King Cole. So his wife...
Where's Frank Sinatra?
Well, Frank Sinatra probably did it too. I know Nat King Cole did it too.
Maybe.
Anyway, it's that song.
Anywho,
it's that song. So his wife starts, you know, giving him a third degree because she thinks he's having this affair and he doesn't know what to do to prove it differently. So the next day, he's back at his office and he's bitching out his receptionist and he hears that song playing through the little office building. So he starts storming through the offices and open the doors and he sees this guy getting a massage from one of his associates who's a physical therapist. And
a special massage?
No, just a regular one.
With a happy ending?
No, but this is where that comes in because that guy, the physical therapist, comes into his office and is like, "What's wrong with you lately?" And he comes up behind him and he's like, "You're all kinds of tense." And he starts massaging him. He's like, "I feel the knots." And the doctor kind of freaks out. And he leaves to go home. And he's like, don't know if it's a guy or a girl now that's all up in him. But, so he's going to bed with his wife. And she wants some milk. And it's the middle of the night. And they're all out. So he goes next door to Angelique's. And guess what? She's not home.
No,
because that was the night she spent at Heloise's house. Or Heloise, Heloise, whatever her name is. So he gets this call on his phone as he's talking to another doctor. And it seems his wife was run over by a moped. And I know. So it was Angelique. But the driver got off and fled, and his wife lost the baby. So while the wife is at home and sad and recouping, this envelope comes under the door, and it's got a key with his name on it. And that's...
Mi amor.
And so that's the last straw for his wife, and that's when she says, "F you," and takes off. And his receptionist makes another mistake, because it seems like she's prone to making mistakes in the office the whole time. So, she didn't send some file to the hospital, so Loic fires her.
Bitch.
I know. And she leaves with a bunch of roses that had come for him. And while she's on the bus crying that she lost her job, she finds another envelope inside the roses. And inside there, inside that envelope that was in the roses... is the ticket to Florence. I know, right? And he also thinks that David is the receptionist's boyfriend because he came to confront Loic about Angelique the same day or the day after he fired the receptionist. And they never say a name and he's saying all this stuff. I had to put my plug in because the battery was dying. Oh. He's saying, you know, how you just let her go. How could you just let her go? And he's like, I've told her before that this would happen and she didn't listen kind of stuff. So that gift that David helped her to get, it comes to his office and It's, yeah, a human heart with an arrow through it.
What if it had a bite out of it?
That would be awesome, but I'm sure formaldehyde tastes pretty nasty, or whatever, not phenobarbital, whatever they use now. Just then, he's got a new receptionist. He's like, take this out of here, the box with the heart. Jasmine, the lady that keeps taking her top off, comes in, and he goes crazy on her and smacks her.
What if she did, like, booby twirling with tassels? Like, I need to be examined.
I don't know.
That would be awesome.
So there's the part where, the news team comes in and she's pressing charges. And he goes home and he's watching himself on the news and he drinks himself pretty much into an oblivion. And the next morning when he goes into his office, the cops are there and they arrest him for murder.
What's going on?
Yeah. So then you see the part where he gets thrown in the paddy wagon. And they're at the police station and his wife is his lawyer. So he's being questioned and his wife steps in and says that she was there with him the whole night. So now she's saying, she's giving him an alibi because the cops are like, aren't you separated? She's like, we are now reconciled. And he still thinks that it's that patient that's been doing the whole Glenn Close thing on him the whole time. And as he and his wife are lying in bed after they did it, and there's sirens.
They did it?
They did it, yeah. They reconciled.
Is that how she got pregnant?
No, this is after she lost the baby and she left him, and then she saw in the news for the murder, and she told him basically, you may have done a lot of things, but I know you're not a murderer. Hey, it's Dr. Giggles is in this one too.
Yeah, it's the return.
So they're laying in bed and he hears all these sirens and he goes to the window and he sees that all the, the fire truck with the hose and the police and the paramedics are all going into the house next door, Angelique's house. And when he goes outside, she's on the stretcher, carbon monoxide poisoning because she left the gas on. So he's doing CPR on her and yelling instructions. And here he is trying to save the girl who really, was his stalker. And he brings her back to life, and all that Angelique can think is, he loves me. So she's in the hospital, and David's there to visit her, and she's telling him, basically, he brought me back to life. He really does love me. It's all true love. Blah, 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 blah. And he says, why don't I take you to visit my parents after? Because he just wants to get her away. And Heloise, or whatever her name is, the friend won't come visit her in the hospital because she really knows how crazy she is. And David's going to go get coffee. And Dr. Legarra comes to check in on her.
Giggles.
No, that's Dr. Giggles. As David heads back to Angelique's room with his coffee, he confronts Loic, and he punches him a bunch, and this triggers something in Dr. Loic's head that, why is my ex-receptionist boyfriend here punching me about my next-door neighbor? Then he starts to realize that maybe, just maybe, Jasmine wasn't such a Looney Tune. She just liked to take her top off and was a hypochondriac. He goes through all the notes and envelopes and stuff that Angelique has sent, and he finds the key with his name on it. So he goes next door and puts the key in the lock, and thump, thump, thump. If it's the lock. So he opens the door and he starts going in and looking around all the mess, and he sees the life-size collage of himself that she's created on the wall out of pieces she scavenged from their house.
How do you make a life-size collage of me?
I don't know. Why? Would you like me to make it out of poo?
Yes.
And he finds a rose. It's a dried-up rose. And it's the same sort he got at the beginning of the movie. And then he remembers The day he found out his wife was pregnant on the way home, he stopped at this flower shop and got this huge bouquet of roses. And Angelique was leaving the neighbor's house on her bicycle, and he's just all happy. So he pulled out a flower and is like, "Here you go, this is for you," as he goes in the house to his pregnant wife. And in the meantime, David's checked Angelique at the hospital. The cops are searching the neighbor's house because I guess the doctor has called them and is kind of like, "Hey, I think my neighbor was a real lunatic." And in the neighbor's house, they find Jasmine's bracelet. So the cops are kind of like, this Angelique chick was maybe doing it the whole time. And as he's packing up his office, and because he's going to move far, far away now, Angelique comes in and he tells her, you know, basically, "You're a Looney Tune. You dreamt everything. I never was with you and will never be with you. You're crazy." She takes this big stone heart. Yeah. And as he walking down the stairs with a box, she whacks him on the head so that he flops on down. And floppity flop flop flop. And she winds up kinda getting off, and they just put her in the insane asylum until they see fit to release her. And he wakes up in the hospital as Angelique's being doped up and tied down in the mental institution. And then he's learning how to walk again. And Angelique is getting electric shock treatment. And after a few years, Angelique is talking about, "You know, it was just a dream in my head that I really, really liked. And I just took it too far. And I know it was a dream now." And so she walks.
Just a big misunderstanding.
It was a big misunderstanding, basically. And as, you know, she's gone, so they're cleaning up her psych ward room. The janitor, like, moves this locker. And behind the locker, she's created another collage of Dr. LeGarrick, made from all the pills she's been hiding over the years. So now she's free and off of meds. So watch out, Dr. LeGarrick.
I think she became one of the girls in Martyrs that ran it. That's Martyrs. Another French. French women are crazy.
That? Did I watch that?
No.
Well, you shut up, because I'm part French.
You saw bits and pieces.
I'm half French.
French. You're Fritalian.
Fritalian. Probably explains why I am a little nuts.
Don't hit me.
Don't hit you. Okay, we're going to take a tiny break, and we will be back.
See?
were just listening to Cagney, Off a Wall, The Hollow Bodies, Black and White, Shatner's Revenge, Shat's Last Stand. We have some events for you. Rocky Mountain Roller Girls season opener.
Woo!
Doom Daisies versus Red Riding Hoods at the Fillmore Auditorium on February 5th at 7. I'm pretty sure they will have a party bus.
It may be sold out by now.
Yeah, it's probably sold out by now. But always check into that at RockyMountainRollerGirls.com because their party bus is the bomb. Free beer on the ride there. Free beer on the ride back to the after party. Free admission to the after party. Oh, tickets to the bout, of course. I don't know if they still let you go out at intermission and drink.
I think it depends on where they're at.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a good time will be had by all. Then there is Love Bites, Burlesque Bands and Art at the Rockaway Tavern at February 11th at 6 p.m. That looks like it's going to be fun. There are burlesque performers. I'm trying to think. Mariana Trench and Surly Temple. And I'm not sure who else is going to be there. But it looks like it's going to be a blast. Then there's an event. WASI Union Second Saturday Open Studios. That's February 12th at 7 p.m. That's 3501 WASI Street. And you can go to waziunion.com. It's kind of like an art walk, but it's this huge, it's right by the railroad track. So it's a huge warehouse that's been turned into all these art studios and art galleries and coolest place, very cool place to go. I know they're going to have food trucks. Two of my favorite people are there, Kitty Mae Millinery and Norman Dillon Photography. So go check that out. Buy some art. Buy some hats from Kitty. They're fabulous. And then on the 13th, Three Olive Vodka is the new sponsor of Amundo Burlesque. So we have a show at the Rack House Pub. It's not on the first Sunday like it normally is of every month because, you know, Super Bowl Sunday, and I'm sure people would get pissed if we turned off the TVs at the Rack House Pub from the Super Bowl just for us to get naked.
They should project the game on your nakedness.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm thinking they wouldn't like that. But we're going to be there on the 13th. Rack House Pub, 7 p.m. starts the show. And Three Olives Vodka is our sponsor, so they have drink specials that night. So I would check that out. So we're going to leave you with a little more muzak, and we will be back once more.
Tear-stained handkerchief from the night before. That's when you chose to walk out the door. I've got a pocket full of smokes and a bottle full of Jack. Here's to hoping that you'll come crawling back. Don't tell me you love me. All you say is lies. After all these years, it's you I've learned to despise. We used to share so much. Now all you do is take, leaving us all behind, crashing in your wake. I'm so sick and tired of being pushed around. I'm so sick and tired. I'm so sick and tired of being pushed around. I'm so sick of you. We'll be right back. I'm so sick and tired of being pushed around. I'm so sick and tired. I'm so sick and tired of being pushed around. I'm so sick of you. I'm sick of being a fly, stuck in your twisted web of lies. Please tell me why, isn't it you who cries? Now I sit here on this cold night, wondering why you chose to fight. I'm so sick and tired of being pushed around. I'm so sick and tired. I'm so sick and tired of being pushed around. I'm so sick of you. I'm so sick and tired of being pushed around. I'm so sick and tired. I'm so sick and tired of being pushed around. I'm so sick of you.
Yes, it's a place where the flies can be done.
quick, before I tell you about the songs you have just heard, I wanted to mention, too, in case we don't do another podcast before then, quick mention, Burly Cute at Bender's, Thursday, February 17th, 8 p.m. show. We're doing Moulin Rouge. Music from the Moulin Rouge. A lot of it. Not all of it. But that should be a really fantastic show as well. But now, to let you know what you were listening to. You were listening to Going Commando. I like that name. Sick of You. The Experiments, Turning Tricks.
And that one too.
I do. And Mount Peace, The Frog. Because I like frogs.
It's where flies go to die.
It's where flies go to die?
Yeah.
What about spiders?
That too.
What about other small insect-type creatures?
They all do.
Okay.
They all float down here.
They do?
Yes.
And you wanted to eat frog legs.
It's all connected.
It's all connected. It's the circle of life.
It has no beginning or end.
That's right. It's always going on and on. So I just started reading the new storyline of Lady Death Universe. We're on issue... Well, there's only two issues right now. But originally... Lady Death was a teenage girl named Hope, I'm taking this from the website, who is deceived by demons and trades her mortality for eternal life in hell. Upon her arrival, she is enslaved. To ensure her survival, she turns to the darkness within herself and begins a transformation into Lady Death.
You mean turns tricks?
Maybe. In the end, she fights back and leads a rebellion that topples the mighty Lord of Darkness himself. Well, the stuff that's happening right now... is she was with a band of thieves. And these demons come and attack them. But one of them comes... Well, first they took down a castle of cannibals. But...
a castle of cannibals?
Yeah. And,
Aren't delicious.
I don't know. I haven't had people.
Soylent Green is made of people.
Is it? Oh, yeah, that's true. This one demon comes to visit her, or her band of thieves that she's involved with, and tells her who she is, kind of, because as of right now, she still has no memory. And he gives her this mirror, and the mirror shows, like, past parts of her life to deal with who she really is. And then they get attacked. And everybody gets killed but her. So this other group comes to get her. And there's a woman who's called... Oh, I can't remember her name now. And I should look at it. But she's basically trying to make herself be like Lady Death. And she wants her killed. But she wasn't as concerned. But now she's... concerned because Lady Death's starting, Hope is getting her memories back of who she really is, and she doesn't want her to take over her reign. So, it's kind of cool.
Is that like a limited series, or is that ongoing?
It's ongoing. It's been ongoing. It started like in 1991.
No, the new
one. Oh, the new one? I guess it's ongoing. It doesn't have, like, of course, I've been buying the Deco issues that don't have the numbers
or price
on them. They don't have much words on them, but I haven't checked, but it didn't say like it's one of whatever, so I'm assuming it's ongoing. I guess I could look on the website and see. I'm assuming it's ongoing, but I'm not sure. Don't know. Not sure about that. Let's see. Oops. Okay, since I'm not sure about that, what we're going to do right now is give you spoken word out of Orion, City in the Sea. On and on and on. So we will be back one more time before we leave. I'm going to have a little comics update.
The City in the Sea. Lo, Death has reared himself a throne in a strange city lying alone, far down within the dim west, where the good and the bad and the worst and the best have gone to their eternal rest. There shrines and palaces and towers, time-eaten towers that tremble not, resemble nothing that is ours. Around, by lifting winds forgot, resignedly beneath the sky, the melancholy waters lie. No rays from the holy heaven come down on the long nighttime of that town, but light from out the lurid sea streams up the turrets silently, gleams up the pinnacles far and free, up domes, up spires, up kingly halls, up fanes, up Babylon-like walls, up shadowy long-forgotten bowers of sculptured ivy and stone flowers, up many and many a marvelous shrine whose wreathed friezes intertwine the vial, the violet, and the vine. Resignedly beneath the sky the melancholy waters lie. So blend the turrets and shadows there that all seem pendulous in air, while from a proud tower in the town Death looks gigantically down. There open fanes and gaping graves yawn level with the luminous waves, but not the riches there that lie in each idol's diamond eye. Not the gaily jeweled dead tempt the waters from their bed, for no ripples curl, alas, along that wilderness of glass. No swellings tell that winds may be upon some far-off, happier sea. No heavings hint that winds have been on seas less hideously serene. But lo, a stir is in the air, the wave, there is a movement there, as if the towers had thrust aside and slightly sinking the dull tide, as if their tops had feebly given a void within the filmy heaven. The ways have now a redder glow, the hours are breathing faint and low, and when, amid no earthly moans, down, down that town shall settle hence, hell, rising from a thousand thrones, shall do it reverence.
Hope you enjoyed that. So we will leave you now. We're gonna say adieu, farewell, avidazing goodbye.
Bye for now.
But if you feel the need, you can leave us a comment at our lpmpodcast.com, or you can contact us at lpmpodcast@gmail.com, or leave us a message at 720-432-2715. And until next time.